CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and today we have singer J.D. Gordon in the booth. So welcome, J.D.
Hi, how you doing? Good. Better known as, you can call me Dave.
Dave, okay. Yeah. What does the J stand for?
Actually, J stands for my nephew, John, who I did most of my early writing with. So his name was John, and we put the two initials together and called it J.D. Gordon.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So you're here, you're going to be talking about a concert. You're coming to Centennial on June 15th. You're going to be playing with Charlie McCoy.
That's right.
So you've been a while. I've interviewed you before a few years ago, so... tell us what you've done since and tell us about the concert.
Well, the last time we were here, we've actually played in Newport at the Haskell Theater. And we enjoyed a wonderful concert, and we packed the place. It was, you know, a lot of fun. And, of course, Charlie is one of the best musicians, if not the best I've ever worked with. A childhood hero of mine from Nashville, and I'm really excited. Also, I graduated Bishop, so I always said I'd love to come back and do a concert at the Centennial Theater, and so I'm there for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I graduated Bishop's in 1980, so and I went back there today for an interview, and it was deja vu. It was a really neat experience to go back and sit on the stage of where I'd seen so many other artists play when I was a student, so it was kind of neat.
Good. What did you major in?
I majored in business.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was shortly after that that I moved to Ottawa. I got married and I had two children, moved back to Ottawa. And I did, that's when I get into songwriting in a big way, because I wasn't playing professionally. I had another career outside of music. And so I was writing a lot of music, and I became very addicted to writing. I love writing songs. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. Starting a song is easy, but finishing, any songwriter will tell you, finishing the song is the hardest part.
Okay.
So I've been doing that, and then I got back into it with Charlie, and we played a lot of gigs in Florida. We played the Orange Blossom Opry in Weirsdale, Florida. We played the Farmers Opry in Pensacola. Also the big flea market outside of Fort Myers, and during the winter months we play down there. So, you know, I'm keeping fairly busy, but next year we hope to do between 8 and 10 of these theater gigs in Ontario, and I'm hoping we'll come back here as well.
Okay, that sounds exciting. So a lot of the concert you've done with Charlie McCoy, I guess?
Yes, Charlie. Charlie and I worked together. He's a musician. Charlie was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2009 with Barbara Mandrell and Roy Clark, who he worked with for 18 years on Hee Haw. And it's very rare that a studio musician or a session leader gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. Charlie was such a special guy. And there's also... a lot of musicians don't realize this, but there's a numbering system. It's called the Nashville numbering system, used by, even used today, all across the world, particularly in North America, in studios. It's a charting system used by studio musicians called the Nashville numbering system, and that was perfected by Charlie McCoy.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
Okay, good. Now, you write songs. Do you write all your own songs?
No, I do some, one or two covers.
Okay.
And at the show, we'll be doing some classic covers of some of the great country artists. But I do tend to write, you know, a lot of material. And I would say probably 50% of the concert will be songs that I've written. And I'm working on a new album that I hope to have done and ready in time for the gig at the show at Bishop's.
Oh, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so I'm a little pressed for time. I go back to the studio when I return from this trip here, and we're recording this new album. I just hope I can get it pressed and mixed and all set in time for the show in June.
Okay, how long have you been working on the new album?
Actually, off and on for the last 2 or 3 years.
Oh, okay.
But I've, you know, I've had a few health problems, nothing serious, but but I think we'll get it wrapped up. The other night while I was here, my buddy Willie Fisk and I started working on one called "Tearing Down the Georgian."
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll finish that one and have it for time for the show. I'm not sure.
Oh, I think everybody remembers that. So yeah. They tore that down a few years ago. Yeah, the G, yeah. So, how would you describe your music? Is it classic country or more modern?
It's interesting because the last album I put out was in 2006, and I recorded it in Nashville, and it was very country. And 2 weeks after I recorded it, I had a serious heart attack, mm-hmm. and I was very sick, and I also had diverticulitis, and it was not... I put it this way, I'd love to forget 2006, mm-hmm. not one of my greatest. So since then, I've written a lot of material, and it's less country, more on the folk sort of hard to explain. I think if you took Gordon Lightfoot, John Prine, and Johnny Cash and put mm-hmm. it in a soup, you'd get me.
Okay.
So it's with a kind of a classic country flavor, folk mm-hmm. flavor, so... It's not really classic country.
Okay, but in between.
In between, yeah.
Folk, but not really modern country?
Not modern country. I'm not a big fan of modern country. Some of the new artists are like Bryant, and I think his name is, and another one I was turned on to called Blackberry Smoke, and that I find them very talented. But mm-hmm. there's an awful lot of the material that the producers in Nashville tend to make it sound kind of cookie cutter.
Okay.
And very similar, the songs sound the same, and the singers sound the same, and so I'm a little disappointed with the new sound of country. But mm-hmm. There's always three or four artists that stick out that I do like, though.
Okay, so the difference between the classic and the new country is kind of
much better lyrics with classic country,
mm-hmm.
much better. I mean, when you listen to Merle Haggard, Mama Tried, the lyrics of that, or any of the lyrics that he wrote. It was Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, the Buck Owens lyrics. I mean, Ray Price, Willie Nelson. I mean, mm-hmm. Crazy, Walking After Midnight. The lyrics were really, really good. Mm-hmm. And now the lyrics are much, much more watered down. And there's a good reason for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest reason for that, I'll tell you, is because years ago, there was two communities. There were the artists, mm-hmm. and then there were the songwriters. And the songwriters, as many people don't realize, every time a song gets played on the radio, the songwriter makes a percentage,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, when the internet came along and people started stealing music off the internet and CD sales started dropping, they dropped 15%. Per year for about 15, 20 years. And what happened was the record companies realized we're losing our shirts. We're not making near as much money because people are not buying CDs. They're stealing it off the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do is compensate for that by getting the royalties to these songs. So they started recuperating songwriters to come work for them. Now, the downside with that is that they put you in a room and say, we want you to write a song called whatever, or we want you to write mm-hmm. a song, Boy Meets Girl, or whatever. They tell you what to write.
Okay.
And that's what's happening in Nashville today. You write what they tell you to write. And it watered down the country music immensely. And a lot of the old songwriters, the talented ones, said, I'm not going to work for you. Because what happened was, they recruit a songwriter, they pay you so much a year, but the royalties all of a sudden didn't go to the songwriter, they instead went to the record company.
Mm-hmm.
So it watered down the whole industry with respect to songwriters. And as you know, often a songwriter's mentality and psyche and everything, personality is very, very different. Not all the time, but most of the time is very, very different from an artist.
Mm-hmm.
They are much more reclusive. They don't like doing shows and they like to stick in their corner, write a song, hand it to an artist and then say, go away, don't bother me. But that's, you know, so the industry has really changed. And as a result, and I'm not saying all new countries like that, but mm-hmm. by and large, the new country lyrics are nowhere near as good as they were years ago.
Yeah.
Well, the new country is pretty pop oriented.
Mm-hmm.
The drummers are rock and roll drummers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a more of a, if you take a lot of the classic rock
mm-hmm.
and you put country lyrics to it, you'd have new country.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. People like rock and roll, and they, mm-hmm. they like, and see, rock and roll music's gone the other way. It's gone crazy a bit. So a lot of rock a lot of people that liked rock when they were kids, now they like the new country.
Yeah, a lot of crossover.
Oh, yeah, and they're making tons of money, so I'm in the minority.
Okay. So the concert coming up on the 15th of June, you'll be playing with Charlie McCoy, so we can expect maybe your new CD, hopefully.
Oh, you'll hear some songs from it. I'm hoping I'll have the CD for sale there, too.
Okay. So what inspired you to all of a sudden make a new CD? The last one was, you said, 2006?
Yes. I actually, you know, I'm getting a little older, and I thought, I still have a few things to say, I think. And I really wanted to write some songs that were from my childhood.
Okay.
And, you know, inspired by Lennoxville and some of the... So I'm going to give it a kick at the can. And, you know, I really... I just had this gnawing at me that I have to do at least one more album. I may do two or three more. I'm not sure. But I'm really excited about doing this one.
Oh, that's great. You're going to start with one. That's great.
And so, the other thing is, to be honest with you, I went to Nashville to do my last album. And be honest with you, you know, even though I've been a musician my whole life, I was intimidated. I get down there with some of the best musicians in the world. And I was very intimidated in terms of, I just let them do whatever they wanted with my material. Now, you know, I'm a little older, a little more mature. And it's like, I'm going to do it my way. I want the sound that I want, which is not classic country. I may even have some horns in the new album.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, it's more of a bluesy, you know, like I say, it's not a classic Nashville type sound. So and that kind of bothered me because I although I really love my last album, there's a lot of new stuff that I've written that's I don't want to go back to Nashville and have them put me through their cookie cutter.
Okay, so well, you've gained experience. If you hadn't gone down there, you wouldn't have had the experience. So.
No, exactly.
Good. Yeah, yeah. So this one is produced where, in Ontario?
It'll be done in Ottawa, Ontario. And I'm going to produce it myself. And I may get some help from Charlie McCoy when he's here.
Okay.
Because Charlie's second to none when it comes to arranging songs. And, and Charlie's very versatile. And as you know, he was a session leader on five of Bob Dylan's best albums. He played the bass on Lay Lady Lay. He played the trumpet on Everybody Must Get Stoned. You know, he was instrumental in really helping Bob Dylan launch his career. Because Dylan recorded in New York, and they just couldn't, he was an enigma. They couldn't get their hand around, wrap their arms around his sound. His lyrics were spectacular, but they needed to create a sound that would, where he could get on the pop charts, because they knew there's no way he's getting on the country charts. He's just sounds, you know, lay, you know, that wouldn't go over. So they sent him to Nashville, and they hooked him up with Charlie McCoy, and the rest is history. Charlie came out with a sound, and it was unique to Bob Dylan, and he's such a great writer that he got airplay on the pop charts and so on and so forth.
Okay, interesting. How did you hook up with Charlie McCoy?
That's strange. Charlie was a hero of mine from day one.
Okay.
I was in Chetty Camp with my parents camping, and there was a song that came out called Brown Eyed Handsome Man, Waylon Jennings, and there was a lead guitar lick that was played over a harmonica lick at the same time. No one had ever done that. They're both playing the same lick, and harmonica was brand new, and it had a very unique sound, and I loved it. I kept playing it over and over, so I went and bought the Waylon Jennings album. It was called Just to Satisfy You. And so I listened to Charlie's harmonica was all through that album. So I listened to it until I had to buy a new one because it was the needle was so scratched on that old LP. And anyway, this is when I was 15 years old. In 2000 or 2001, I can't remember, I said, I'm going to hunt down Charlie McCoy and ask him if he would mind playing harmonica on my CD.
Okay.
So I called him up in Nashville, and he was tickled. And unbeknownst to me, I'm an avid hockey fan. When I had my heart attack, I was watching a hockey game.
Okay.
So I love hockey, and Charlie loves hockey. And so I said, will you mind coming up? And as it was in Ottawa, he said, yep. He said, you get us some tickets when we'll arrange it so the Predators will be there and playing Ottawa, and I'll be glad to come up and do that album. Well, he came up, did the album, And then we became good friends. We hit it off like two peas in a pod, as the song says. And of course, I am an avid Blackhawk fan, and he is a hard shell Predators fan. So this was not a good year for me because his Predators swept my Blackhawks.
Okay.
But that's how we met. I just called him up. And then...
That's amazing.
He found out that I was doing... going to Florida. He says, why don't you come down and do the Opry with me, the Farmer's Opry and the Orange Blossom Opry. So we hooked up, we started playing there, and we've been friends ever since and doing gigs ever since. It's just every time I'm on stage with Charlie, I look over at him and I think, I can't believe I'm on the stage with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, if you've never heard him, heard a harmonica player, he is spectacular. And you've heard him on Frank Sinatra, you've heard Charlie play. If you listen to a harmonica, any cut from the 1970s back, 1980 back, there's a 90% chance it was Charlie McCoy playing harmonica. Even in on Steve Miller Band, he played on Take the Money and Run album, and he played with Steve Miller. I held his Grammy Award. Charlie won a Grammy Award in 1978 for the soundtrack of the Academy Award winning motion picture, Midnight Cowboy, right? So he's very well recognized among the music community. But, of course, he didn't sing at the time. He sings now. So a lot of mainstream people never knew him. But everyone in the industry knew the name Charlie McCoy.
Okay, that's interesting because that's almost like a childhood dream that came true for you.
Oh, it's absolutely. The only other thing would be better than that if I got a chance to play with Merle Haggard before he died. Okay, I can't have everything.
That's awesome. Now, you're producing a new CD. We hope that it's out for the concert coming up at Centennial on June 15th. So you have three CDs?
Yes. Okay. The first one I did, 2003, Breaking These Chains.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did one a couple years later called Good to Be Alive.
Okay.
That was just, it's ironic, prior to my heart attack. And then those were done in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Nashville and I released one in 2006 called On My Way. Mm-hmm. And that was produced by Charlie McCoy. Very, very technically a great album. A very classic country sounding, like I said. But my new album will be more...
bluesy.
Yeah, more bluesy, more folky, and I love horns. It will be along the lines of Van Morrison.
Okay,
who's interesting. One of my favorite artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. And if somebody wants to find out a bit more of you and purchase some of the albums, where can they get them?
www.jdgordon.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And can they get them on Amazon too? Or?
They soon will be. I don't know when. My manager's taking care of that, but... I'll have samples, free samples right off on the website so they can have a listen. And
okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you have a website. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. And people can learn all about your concerts on there, what's coming up, and
yes,
what you're
absolutely.
Doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What, you live in Ottawa, you said?
No. Moved from Ottawa six, 7 years ago. I live in a little town in Napanee. Hometown of Avril Lavigne.
Oh,
that's
really?
Where she, Avril was born and raised. Yeah, I didn't know that until I got down there. I went to the local pizzeria and they had pictures of her everywhere. And of course, I got the education and she's okay. So well loved there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So what else have you got planned?
Well, right now, we're having a professional videographer come down to the Centennial Theater. Mm-hmm. And also the night before, we're playing in Ottawa at the Irish Hills Golf and Country Club.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take excerpts from both shows and put together a marketing package for Charlie and I. And we're actually looking to do, you know, 8 to 10 shows next year in Ontario. And hopefully we'll come back here and also market it in Europe. Charlie plays in Europe every year in Germany and Czechoslovakia. And I'm hoping that we can take our show over there.
Okay, good. So lots planned. What do you do in your spare time other than music?
Actually, paint. Oil paint. I'm an avid oil. I love oil painting, and I got back into it 2 years ago. And I'm obsessive compulsive. There, I was locked myself in a room, and I painted. And I did my very first art show in Napanee about 3 months ago, month of February and April. My art was on display at the Napanee Library. And I paint landscaping, tonalistic style from the late 18th century. And I just love I may bring some art actually with me to sell at Centennial Theater. I think I might bring 5 or 6 paintings.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Well, just for the fun of it, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, that's my hobby. I love it, and it's mm-hmm. relaxing, and I've painted my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really sold any paintings until, mm-hmm. you know, last year.
Oh, you know? Good for you.
Yeah, I just said, well, I'm going to do it for the fun of it and stick my neck out there. And
yeah, so music, you write some of your songs too, and you paint. Now, do you have some favorite songs off your albums?
Well, one of them I have to do, and that's They Cut My Kid. Mm-hmm. I coached hockey for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, it's ironic because I wrote a song sort of poking fun at me, because I was a hockey parent and mm-hmm. hockey parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any coach will tell you there's always going to be a handful of parents that think their son's going to be the next Wayne Gretzky. And so I wrote this kind of fun song called They Cut My Kid. And oddly enough, it caught on out west. The Regina Leader Post, they did a half-page article on me, and Vancouver Sun as well. And I was getting airplay out west. Mm-hmm. And some truck drivers who heard it out west were driving through Toronto and listening to a country station, and they called the station and said, you got this new song by a guy named J.D. Gordon called They Cut My Kid?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, I never even heard of the song or J.D. Gordon. So they hunted me down in Ottawa, did an on-air interview, started playing the song, and I sold tons of them on my website. And, you know, it's a funny thing, eh? But the radio station in Ottawa, they wouldn't play it.
That's amazing. How come?
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. To this day, I don't know why. It was Nashville quality, production quality. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Maybe if they thought it was insulting. Everybody that has listened to it that's been in hockey, I mean, they, mm-hmm. they love it. They laugh their head off and say, oh, my God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always want the best for our kids. And sometimes hockey parents go a little overboard. It's a comical song. And they loved it at West. And I also got sales in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia. But and as a result of the airplay I got in Toronto, but the CKBY, the station in Ottawa, mm-hmm. refused to play it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they said it's just not appropriate. I guess I don't know. Too many hockey parents, maybe. Okay. I don't know.
You never know. Eh? Yeah. You never know where your music's going to be popular.
No, and that's the way. That's luck of the draw. You know, yeah. It's, that's the way it is. So I'll be playing They Cut My Kid for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple others that I'm that I like, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm working on one local one. You know, I've got mm-hmm. a couple local ones from my childhood and mm-hmm. that. So you're going to have to come to the show and listen to see.
Okay, that sounds good. You grew up in Lennoxville, you
yes,
said?
Grew up in Natto Street in Lennoxville.
Okay.
And every time I come down here, I'm marveled at the landscape. It is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I love Ontario, don't get me wrong. And I love where I live. Napanee's a nice place. But Lennoxville's home, and the scenery here and the landscape is absolutely phenomenal. I went to Ireland Brook to see a buddy of mine.
Okay.
The other day, and I said to another friend of mine from Ontario, Donnie Miller, and we were born and raised together, and we're going up to see Hoppy, our friend, and I said to Donnie, I said, I wonder if these people ever get sick of looking at this beautiful valley near Island Brook, looking at the forest. And I said, I mean, it's absolutely breathtaking to us. I wonder if these people realize how lucky they are to wake up every morning and look outside their window and see that. We, you know, where I am right now, we don't have that kind of beauty. It's mm-hmm. just, and everywhere you look, Sawyerville, around Lennoxville, North Hatley, Magog, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just breathtaking.
Oh, I agree with you. It's a very picturesque place to mm-hmm. live. Yeah,
I'd love to bring my canvas down here in the summertime mm-hmm. or in the fall
mm-hmm.
and do some plain air painting, you know, out in Memphis, Magog, or
okay.
out near Gould, mm-hmm. where my dad had his hunt camp. I'd love to do that sometime.
Okay, probably too, because it reminds you of your childhood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's growing up in Quebec, we all of the people that I grew up with on Addo Street and St. Francis Street, and we all reflect on how incredibly lucky we were. And it's funny because we were different. English Canadians, English Quebecers are different than the rest of Canada, English people. The French culture really rubbed off on us more than we thought. And I had so many French Canadian friends, and I missed that culture. And we didn't, you don't realize it. Give you an example. When I moved to Ontario, I played a couple weddings. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
And nobody would dance. They look like, they sit around and look at each other. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't dance until they were half loaded.
Okay.
Yeah, they had to be drunk. And I said, what? I turned to my buddy and said, I don't think they like us. And we were trying desperately to get people to dance.
Exactly.
And my buddy said, no, they like us. They don't dance in Ontario. They got to be drunk. Okay. I said, you're kidding. I said, if I was in Quebec, down at the Army Navy Hut or some other place, the third song, half the place is up dancing. And, that was the French-Canadian culture. I mean, we all, there was a famous joke when I was a kid, how to drive a French-Canadian crazy, tie his feet to the floor and then play the fiddle.
Okay. I guess every culture is different.
Different. So it really rubbed off on us, and I wouldn't have wanted to live and be raised any other place but in Quebec. I love it. And I learned, my only regret is I wish I would have learned to speak French better.
Mm-hmm.
I can speak it, but not like I should.
Okay. Well, I think that's a regret of a lot of people, but times are changing for the better too.
It is.
Good. So the concert coming up. Now, anything else you wanted to add before we go, JD?
No, I just I hope we get a wonderful turnout. It's we're working real hard on it. Mm-hmm. We're playing the night before
in the golf
club in Ottawa, and night before that we're all rehearsing and making sure that we're bringing our A game to the Centennial Theatre. And I'm really excited about it, and I hope we get a good crowd and get enough support that we can come back again sometime.
Oh, I hope so too. So if somebody wants to get tickets, now the show again is on June 15th, Centennial Theatre, 8:00, I guess. And if you want to get tickets, you can go through Centennial or...
Centennial Theatre.
Okay.
That's the place, yeah.
Good, Centennial Theatre. So everybody should make sure they get their tickets ahead of time and make sure they get their place there, because it's going to be a lot of fun and surprises too, and maybe some art even.
Yeah, we had actually the alumni, the Bishop's alumni, we did an interview with them earlier today, and I don't know how many alumni still live in the area, but we're hoping we get those people out, and also some the odd student that's still here and that likes sort of a bluegrassy country folk type music. So we'll cross our fingers. Either way, we're gonna give it our best shot and play the best show we can.
I'm sure you'll do well, because I think you have a lot of support, a lot of friends from back when you lived here, back when you went to school, and a lot of people interested in the that type of country music, the classic crossover too. So
I got some great musicians too. Donnie Reed played all of Dwight Yoakam's albums. We're flying him in from Sudbury.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great steel player, John Steele from Ottawa, plays pedal steel guitar and five-string banjo. We got a really exciting young guitar player, Bradley Scott from Ottawa, that's coming down. He's like a young Steve Patico. Steve was going to make it, couldn't make it this year. Mm-hmm. He usually tours with us, but he's on tour in Europe, I believe. I can't remember, but he couldn't make the show.
Okay.
But this young Bradley Scott is a real exciting young guitar player and guy on keyboards. So that's a producer in Ottawa. He does all the Ottawa Valley country music shows in the area. So we got a great band, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and they're going to be playing in Ottawa too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay, so that's interesting. Like you said, you're flying them in. So once they get all together in a group, how much practice do you need before you go on stage?
Well, they all read charts, so they're all professionals.
Okay.
They record charts, and we go through it, and we play. Four of the musicians have played together for years.
Okay.
So they're tight. The rhythm track, the bass player, Kenny Cambusher, he's stand-up bass. He played with Jan Arden, and Peter Baudouin and Ed Bin. Jim and the guitar player and the steel player. The guitar player's a young guy, but they all work together on a regular basis. Most of the shows are a lot of shows that are at Centerpoint Theater.
Okay.
And when the artist comes in and they need a band, these guys play together. And when I tour next year, these will be the same guys. You know, we all get along really well, and they're dynamite musicians.
Okay, that sounds great. Sounds really fun. Good. Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
No, that's great. Thank you so much for doing the interview. I really appreciate it, and I hope we have a good turnout.
I'm sure you will, and thank you for coming to the area and doing the interview with us. All the best. Bye.
Bye.